Exodus 38, verses 21 through 31, these are God's words. This is the inventory of the tabernacle of the testimony, which was counted according to the commandment of Moses, for the service of the Levites by the hand of Ithamar, son of Aaron, the priest. Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made all that Yahweh had commanded Moses. And with him was Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, an engraver and designer, a weaver, of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and of fine linen. All the gold that was used in all the work of the holy place, that is, the gold of the offering, was 29 talents and 730 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. And the silver from those who were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents and 1,775 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. A beka for each man, that is, half a shekel, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. For everyone included in the numbering from 20 years old and above, for 603,550 men. And from the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary and the bases of the veil, 100 sockets, from the 100 talents, 1 talent for each socket. Then from the 1,775 shekels, he made hooks for the pillars, overlaid their capitals, and made bands for them. The offering of bronze was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels. And with it he made the sockets for the door of the tabernacle of meeting, the bronze altar, the bronze grating for it, and all the utensils for the altar, the sockets for the court all round, the bases for the court gate, all the pegs for the tabernacle, and all the pegs for the court all round. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Notice in verse 21 that this numbering, this inventory, was counted according to the commandment of Moses. Just as, which we see in verse 22, the making of everything was as Yahweh had commanded Moses. And so the Lord has commanded not just the construction of the tabernacle, but the inventory, the counting, the numbering, the accounting for and of all that was given and how it was used. One of the first reasons that he does this is to show us the great wealth, the great riches that were expended on the making of the tabernacle. At the time of writing, even though this thing is a tent, the amount of gold used in its construction and the construction of its furnishings is worth approximately $7 million today. Sorry, $70 million today. And the amount of silver that was used, worth around $3 million today. Each one of those sockets into which the board would be put, so the silver would be formed so that the board fits snugly into its socket. Each one of those weighed 75 pounds of silver. And so you get the idea of the structural use. They used silver in a structural application. That is the expense of riches. The Lord spared no expense. And this would be true, of course, in an ultimate sense, because he who is worth more than all of creation taken together would not be spared. And if God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also together with him freely give us all things? And so the first thing is the riches, a vastly great proportion of the riches of the world had been concentrated in Egypt, brought out with Israel, and now expended on the building of the tabernacle. And even this was just a shadow or a whisper of what our worship, our public worship, would be constructed of. So that whenever we have low thoughts or are struggling to bring ourselves to the public worship or attend well upon the public worship, how good it would be for us to remember what was invested in this tabernacle as an anticipation of what would be invested in the true tabernacling of God with men, even our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's one reason. It's a great reason. And there is another reason. And that is responsibility. Bezalel and Aholiab have a great responsibility to take such wealth and put it to the use in the construction. And because our hearts are sluggish and slow, we don't see the words of God, this according made all that Yahweh had commanded Moses in verse 22. Our sinfulness, the dullness of our hearts and minds, keeps us from seeing how tremendous a responsibility that is. I think, hopefully, for Bezalel and the Holy Ab, the Spirit helping them and overcoming the dullness of their hearts, the experience of the giving of the Ten Commandments, and the experience when Moses returned from the mountain the first time, and the experience of the cloud and the fire and the Red Sea and all the plagues, and the experience of Moses' shining face, the one who was giving them the details of their creation slash construction project, with shooting light beams out of his cheeks. Hopefully they had a sense of the greatness of the responsibility to do well with what God had provided them. But here he adds a numbering and accounting. Because we understand more readily the value of earthly wealth, he gives us an account of the earthly wealth that was expended, so that they would realize the responsibility they have to do right with it. The very thing that, of course, Judah did not realize. And you remember at the very end of 2 Kings as they're going into exile, and you've got this kind of hurried account of the last siege, and suddenly in the middle of it, everything grinds into slow motion and zooms in on the pieces of bronze, the grating being removed, the capital from the pillar being removed, saying, look at the greatness of God's investment in his people's worship to have his presence among them. And they wanted other gods, and they wanted to worship the way other people worship. And they trusted in other hopes for military protection and deliverance. So not only the riches that God has provided for our worship, but the great responsibility then. If God has consecrated our worship with the blood of the Lord Jesus and constructed his presence among us in the body of the Lord Jesus, the new and living way that is his flesh, to quote Hebrews 10, then how we ought to care to worship rightly in the way that he says, and how we ought to value it when we come and do it. And resist any profaning of it, and resist any temptation not to do it. So there's the riches, and then there's the responsibility. The sockets were made as commanded, verse 27. The hooks were made as commanded, verse 28. All the various bronze items were made as commanded, verse 30 and 31. God generously gave the people the wealth of skill that they needed to obey his word, to fulfill the responsibility to worship in the way that he had commanded. And then there's also reliability or integrity on the part of the men who collected the money and the men who dispersed or the materials. It's both in this case. It's real money. It's not invented out of thin air by a government. The men who collected the materials and dispensed the materials for their use by the craftsmen, they kept an account down to the shekel of the gold and the silver and the bronze, and back down to the beka, which was a half shekel. And so, even in the rest of life, but really, especially in that which is collected and dispensed for all that is necessary, earthly speaking, for the worship of God, it is important to keep good account, that everything be done transparently and openly. We see this even, for instance, with the collection of support for the Jewish Christians by the Macedonian Christians and the Achaean Christians. Paul urging them to take special care to pick the most honest, trusted person they have, to be the one who keeps track of it, and to send a trusted, appointed, almost sounds like elected person with them when they go to Judea, so that they can, affirm, I saw with my own eyes, every last denarius that was given actually made it to Judea and was used by the Jerusalem church, the deacons there, Prochorus and Nicanor, if they were still there, whoever the deacons were at the time, in the Jerusalem church, made sure that it was dispersed in a godly manner. So you can read about that sometime in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 4. Really, 2 Corinthians, the entirety of chapter 8 and 9 are devoted to that, but chapter 8 and verses 19 through 21, very specifically to how the money was handled accountably. This should be done in the church. There should be integrity, transparency, accountability. And here, by the commandment of Moses, a particular one of the four sons of the high priest, for the two who are about to die of the normative principle of worship, had not yet died, but still one of the four was selected as the one who would give the accounting. So the Lord cares about integrity, and we should care about integrity. So why does the Lord command this numbering, this inventory? To show us the riches that he invests in our public worship, to press upon us the responsibility that we have to follow his commandments alone with the riches that he has invested in the public worship, and to show us how important it is that we have integrity, that we be reliable and accountable in how we serve in his church, how we serve others, and then to a lesser extent, but still very important, in all of the rest of our life as well. So let's pray and ask the Spirit to make us to value Christ, and therefore to value God's worship the way we should. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for helping us to understand your word. We thank you for giving us this portion of your word, and for what we have learned from it. We pray that just as no prophet spoke from himself, but men whom you had appointed were carried along by your Holy Spirit to write the words that you are breathing out, that so also your Spirit is the one who writes its truth upon our hearts. And we pray that he would. And we pray that you would make us to treasure Christ appropriately, as greater than all of the wealth and all of the history of all of the created things. And that you would make us to value worship that is in him in a corresponding way, and we pray that you would make us to know and respond rightly to the weightiness of having been given worship in him and having been given specific commands, that we might conduct the worship exactly according to your words. We do pray, Lord, that you would give us integrity, that we would want everyone to see the uprightness of our God reflected in the uprightness of how we serve you. Grant it, O God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.